Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First of all, can I say, look how freaking amazing you look.
You can say that.
Yeah. I'm going to say that. Maggie, look how, you look great today, Maggie.
Thank you, Tim.
And I know another day we've had today. It's been a long one.
It's been a day. So it's been a great day.
How dare you look this good after the long day we've had?
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself, sir.
I got to ask you.
How great does Tim look?
Oh. But, Maggie, I do have a very important question.
A what?
Too much Stringbush? Not enough.
Never enough. Okay. It's never enough Stringbush. Come on.
Okay, now I'm embarrassed.
This just turned into a very different show. Sorry, kids. Anyway.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
This is great, Tim. We're starting off. It's good. We're doing good here. How are you all feeling? It was a big day, long day.
First of all, hey, Indianapolis. Can I introduce you to my podcast partner in crime, my dearest friend, Margaret Cassidy Lawson?
Hello. You can.
Hey, Maggie.
What, Tim?
Meet Indianapolis.
Hi, Indianapolis. Y'all look great. Yeah, it's nice. It's really good to see all of you. We had such a wonderful day today, meeting all of you and hearing so many stories. And I know there were some birthdays. I know I signed some happy birthdays to people who have birthdays. Yes.
It was the 21st anniversary, even though I wrote 25th.
Yes.
And tried to scratch out the 5 and make it a 1.
Oh, I know the 21st anniversary, too. Yeah, it was just really special. And we love doing these. And we love getting to meet all of you and have this like special time with you. It's just really...
Hey, Maggie, speaking of special.
It's really something. Yes, Tim, I like special
you
things.
You guys, we're halfway through the pod. We're halfway through the Psych Pod Tour 24.
Which is insane. I feel like it just started. I want to like do it all over again. It's going too fast.
Now, Maggie, I don't know about you, but to me, one of the coolest things about being on tour with you is traveling around so much and then happening to hit special cities where we get to have very special family and friends come in.
Yes, it's true, which is very special.
I feel like there's somebody pretty special here for you today.
There might be a couple of very special people. Oh, hi, Mom. Just my mom. My parents, everybody. My parents are in the third row. Everybody say hi, Judy, and hi, Tony. And you got to sit next to them.
So, Judy, I got to say, I'm incredibly grateful to you for putting this ray of sunshine into the world.
Oh, Tim. Daisy, you're actually sitting next to my mom. That's right. Hello. I remember you from earlier today. Yeah. Hi. Oh, see, this is so fun. And then, like, so our extended psych family is here. My real family is here. My very close, immediate psych family is sitting next to me. This is a really nice, it's a really nice night, everybody.
I got a question, though.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Hey, Judy. Are you ready?
Judy, you have a question.
Are you ready to help your daughter and I podcast the shit out of this episode? I'm thinking that's a yes.
We got an absolutely. You better be ready. You better know all the, things.
Hey, what are we? What episode are we doing tonight, Maggie?
What episode we are doing? Wait. We have a very important question for everybody else as well.
Oh yes.
Yes. So hey, yeah, that's him.
Indianapolis. Follow-up question. Are you all ready to help Maggie and I podcast the shit out of this very special episode? That really blew my ears up. Awesome.
This is fun. And I don't know. Like, this is...
It's already fun.
I'm like, this is fun, you all.
Have I told you how much I like your new glasses?
Hey, thanks, Tim. I just got them. Is this my... Oh, it's the second place. So I wore them in Richmond, too. But yeah, this is my... I just got them. Thanks, Ellen. Yeah. Hey, thanks. We don't really need to applause for it, but I...
No, with those glasses, we do.
My glasses, thank you.
If you listen to the podcast, you... Obviously, you listen to the podcast, so why would you be here?
Yeah.
But you know how much Mag and I often comment on each other's eyeglass
eyewear. Yes, we do. These are great, too, Tim. Thanks. Also, like, the whole fit. You look great. Also, those socks are my favorite socks.
Oh, gee, my Maggie socks?
Yeah, those are his Maggie socks.
So I've worn my Maggie socks to every live show.
Yeah.
But
it's
I
good
can't
luck
help
now.
But notice, I think you have yet to wear your Tim socks.
I haven't. It just, the socks haven't gone with the fits.
I understand, because a lot of boots a lot of times, and...
So they will, though, eventually. These shoes look like they're falling off. I don't know what temperature I feel like I'm in right now, but these are not winter shoes. I'm welcoming spring.
Y'all aren't up here close enough, but I got to say, fantastic pedicure, Maggie.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
You know what? You always do notice the manicures and pedicures. This is one of my favorite things about you. Tim was the first person on set always. We'd be like looking over our lines in the morning in the car on the way to work, and he would be like, holy shit, Maggie, get your nails done. I swear. That's why we're friends, though. We're that honest with each other.
Which, I mean, look, if you and I can, if we can call out bats in the cave.
Oh, absolutely. We do. Well, I mean, you all know it. That was a slow, that was like a little rumbly laugh. I think some people were uncomfortable laughing at that.
Okay.
You know what, bats in the cave, right? Yes, okay. So yeah, we do that for each other.
Shorthand prior to action was, Maggie, got any boogers?
Yeah.
Or should we just go bat in the cave?
And my thing is less that and more like, do I have anything in my teeth? Yeah.
But here's the sad thing.
I don't know if anyone's enjoying this like we are.
Now that I've gotten older, there's a lot more hairs in the nose.
Oh, yeah.
So... Sorry, I apologize for that. Anybody in photo ops? I just know I did do a little, I did make sure and trim the nose. Only because
it's
Allison
just
would
getting
not,
more and more weird, you all.
Allison would not let me out of the house unless I check the nose hairs.
Should we do the episode, Tim, maybe?
Sure. I don't know, I kind of like talking about our personal grooming.
Our personal grooming. Okay. Anyway, what episode are we doing, Tim? We are doing...
Season 6, Episode 8.
Correct.
The Tao of Gus.
The Tao of Gus.
Which there was a big debate whether it's Tao or Tao.
Yeah. It's Tao.
So...
Is it Tao? Because we were discussing
Show of hands, who says it's Tao?
Oh!
All three people. Okay, show of hands, who says it's Tao?
Tao. What is happening right now? We had a very funny little debate backstage about this.
I was like, no, I'm almost 100% sure it's Tao. It's the Tao of
We're going to go with that because he's feeling very sure and I'm unsure. So I'm going to just go with the sure thing. But I really liked seeing the split hands because even I was confused. And then I felt really silly that I didn't know our episode, the correct pronunciation of the episode name. And now I don't feel as bad.
Here's the deal. Next live show, we'll do some research. If I find out that I'm wrong, I will fall on my sword in front of the entire house.
No sword falling. No, we're good. All right. Let's jump in, yeah? Okay, great. Okay, so this was written by Tim Meltriger, who we love so much. He directed the shit out of it, John Badham. And then the pineapple sighting.
Actually got it.
You got it? I didn't even get it. Wait. You got them both!
I didn't hear what she said. Huh?
Tablecloth and a rustic, there's like a rustic pineapple nailed to a fruit stand.
It's the... Okay, tablecloth I did not get.
Wait, what?
Yeah, tablecloth I did not get. So awesomeness. The paper towel holder at the fruit stand is a
Man.
Pineapple, which is right behind your head when you're eating the peach in the final scene.
Cool, and I still missed it. Awesome.
Let's be honest. You weren't looking at anything other than yourself. I mean, I can't believe that I was able to pull my eyes off you in this. Because you had a really kicky new blouse on.
I did. I had a whole vibe.
You looked amazing this entire episode. There's like a whole new, like your new level.
I did. I'm not gonna disagree. I thought I had my hair had some body in the updos, and like it was just a little there was just a little more like flair, a little more zhuzh going on. And I appreciated it.
You had a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Now we're getting fancy.
Okay. Speaking of fancy, let me get to my professional
notes. Get your fancy notes. All right, let's go. Sean and Gus, ready? Yeah. Sean and Gus are at the SBPD. Also noted, no flashback.
I did not note that, but thank you for noting it for me.
Thank you for that reaction.
It's not that
exciting.
Now, I don't know how many of y'all snuck in flasks, but I know our audience, so the credentials are probably pretty good.
SBPD, oh my God.
Opening seconds of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Lassiter, of course, is in his sapphire bottle blue, oceanized blue shirt, which means you all get to drink up, whoever's drinking. Free drinking game?
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. Fake drinks. It's fine. We can fake it. Yes. Okay, good. So Sean and Gus at the SBPD waiting to pick up their check when they spot an attractive woman named Nicole Reed telling the police that she witnessed a...
murder.
In an alley on a busy street at the height of lunch hour. That was really good. I didn't even have to give you the look of like what I was like throwing at you. It was just, you were right there.
I knew it was coming. I had it in my notes. It's all caps.
Okay. Then Gus creepily claims he wants to die and come back as that woman's scarf. I love when Gus, like, he just, it's so off when he's into somebody, and yet it's so right and on at the same time.
But this one, he's so particularly off on this one. He was so disconcerting. Your reaction to Gus going so extra creepy on this one was hilarious.
Yes, because he's extra, I love, Dulay. Oh. We just love him so much.
You can't hold a player down when Dulé plays the player.
Exactly. Okay, given the circumstances, Lassiter and Juliet are unsure whether or not she is telling the truth. Her story sounds unbelievable, even to Sean. But Gus, really attracted to Nicole, and he wants to further investigate. Of course he does.
Oh, I'll bet he wants to investigate something.
Yeah.
Sorry, kids. I forgot.
Keeping this G-rated. John, yes, Gus, and Nicole head to the place where the murder supposedly went down. Suddenly, a car swerves.
Oh, sorry. Let me interject, if I may.
Yes, so, interject.
In the SBPD, I love that Nicole is doing sun salutations to the back, and Lassiter just so, like, classic Lassiter, seeing this hippie free spirit just losing his mind, going, what in the hell has gotten him? But his, when he says, one of my favorite bits in the entire show, I think, is, when he says, oh, she's had too much, and he does an impression, Lassiter's impression of someone smoking some Mary J.
Oh, that is a horror. By the way, that's how you know Lassiter has never smoked a day in his life.
But I love it. It is such, it's my peak Mr. Bean.
It's uncomfortably over the top.
And this, the side eye you give me, like, it's a hard side eye.
That's good. Oh, it's cute. Carlton.
But it was just so
sometimes.
Fun to play because it's so un-Carlton.
It is so un-Carlton. Okay, let's see. Wait, what? Sean, Gus, Nicole head to the police where the...
murder. I wasn't ready for that one.
No, you weren't because I said police instead of place. They went to the place where the...
murder.
There we go. Okay. Supposedly went down.
I'll give you nose crinkle on that one.
I missed it? Okay, I'll wait for the next one. There'll be more. Suddenly, a car swerves, almost hitting Nicole. Sean thinks it was on purpose and that the person behind the wheel was trying to harm Nicole because of what she witnessed. From this, Sean decides that Nicole is telling the truth and the killer wants her dead. Sean and Gus have no choice but to take Nicole somewhere safe. Nicole suggests that they go hide out on the farm where she's from as she's part of the Box Canyon commune. I hear some whispers. about that place. Anyway, they leave Nicole's car parked out in front of Juliet's house and take the blueberry to the farm instead. Later that day, after trying
ding,
on
ding,
the...
Ding, ding. Hang on, we have a ding. Series first. This, I do believe, is the very first time we ever see Juliet's apartment.
You know, it was really interesting, actually, because this was kind of like a house. It was like an apartment house thing. I couldn't tell. I'm like, am I upstairs in an apartment or am
sort of
I
like townhouse-ish?
It's a townhouse. I think it was a townhouse. Is that the first time? No. Scott Seaver. When Scott comes over, I'm hiding the gun under the pillow, right? Yeah.
But no, this forget was a, it. I was obviously drunk when I wrote these notes.
No, but it's good because the Scott Seaver place is entirely different. So,
see, I wasn't entirely drunk.
No, Juliet moved.
Thanks. Nice save, partner. Thank you.
Okay. So we've seen her house. Okay. So the blueberry, they go to the farm. Later that day, after trying on the girl's scarf, what was I doing? It's very funny. It's a very funny moment.
Well, because it's such an un-Juliet piece of wardrobe. She wanted to see what it'd be like.
Yeah. She's just a girly girl. She's like, what is this? This is cute. And then.
Speaking of wardrobe, we have a very rare wardrobe snafu in this scene.
Snafu?
It's French. Sorry, it'd be snafu. At the top of the scene, Juliet is in a white blouse, black skirt. By the time the next thing that happens, which you're about to get to, as you're trying on the scarf, you're selling a long sleeve white t-shirt and jeans.
Because I'm home, maybe? Is it because I went home?
No, I think it's because you know what's about to happen.
Oh, you think I know that the house is about to get shot up?
Spoiler alert, you just let it out.
All right, so after trying on the scarf, Juliet's house gets shot at, thus causing Juliet to believe the woman's story about witnessing the...
murder.
Oh, that had like...
That was ultimate nose crinkle for you.
Yes. Okay. Were they
and
right?
Does the house get shot up? Juliet then goes into immediate badass mode. Leaping for
it was cool.
Her gun under the in a basket underneath the side table, which is such a Lassiter move.
That is so something I learned from you. No question. Who has that in the basket just conveniently ready? It's like, oh look, it's the blankets and my gun. And then there's a squid. I know that the one reaction at the door when there's like a shot, a bullet comes right through like the side panel of the door. And my reaction is so legit real because that was a squib that went off like in the actual, you can see it pop. And I'm just like, oh, that's too close. That is too close. Anyway,
Dan
that was
Shay, you're in trouble.
So fun though. Those were fun to do. Okay. When they arrive at Nicole's farm, Sean and Gus quickly learn that this isn't any regular farm. It's a farm that houses an entire community of free-loving, hippie-type people. And Sean and Gus are immediately greeted with hugs. They explain to Sean and Gus that they are loving, open-hearted, a welcoming community that celebrates a non-violent lifestyle and shared values, all under the leadership of a man named Eli.
Hang on. Can I ask who's one of the first members to offer a hug? Our dear friend Carlos Jacot.
Yes. And I also want to shout out Diora Baird, who is playing Nicole in this. And she's great. I think she's so funny in this.
She's really funny in this.
And then we meet Eli, who is your dear friend. Yeah, our friend.
So, psych degree of separation, the great Diedrich Bader, who, my psych degree of separation is because I ended up doing not just one, but two episodes of a show called American Housewife with Diedrich, and psych alum Katie Mixon, yeah. Marlo's parole officer.
That's now, right. Oh my God, I forgot that.
Here's a fun fact.
Oh yeah.
You ready for a fun fact, Max?
Oh, always.
So, the character name's Eli. Was also just happened to be my guru, my character on Xena, who is also a guru type.
Yeah.
Xena
fans.
They're everywhere. So I reached out to Diedrich, who's actually become a dear friend, who would have been on the podcast were we not out of the state, and just asked him for some notes. And he sent in some notes. I gotta read these properly.
Okay.
Quote, I always say a guest spot is like working, it's like walk, I'm sorry, dyslexia is working. You can tell I didn't write this because I'm messing up. I always say working on a guest spot is like walking into someone's house at Thanksgiving and starting to carve the turkey. You see the family dynamic from the outside with a clear eye. I have to say, Psych was one of the healthiest, most welcoming casts I've ever had the pleasure to work with. If there were rivalries, jealousies, resentments, I certainly would have seen them, but I saw none. I just didn't pick up any. They seemed to genuinely like each other. It was all just so healthy, it made me sick. They invited me out to drinks every night. It was a great treat to watch them have the same rapport offset as they had on set. And they treated me like I was a regular. Hold on, I lost my place.
I think we go on. You found it.
Yeah, they let me play like I was a regular, which is
which
was kind of one of the things that I think we all were very proud of the atmosphere we set for our guest stars, because by welcoming, by making them part of the family, they perform, they get to be, they're better, which raises everybody's game.
It's that's what we wanted. That's what we, I think, felt like we were, like, from USA and the people we were working with, we were given such freedom to be like creative and playful, and we wanted to extend that to everybody who came up.
We shot this out in Jamestown, didn't we? Where we shot Old Sonora?
Yes, that's right.
So because of that, it was a little bit of a field trip. They put us up in a hotel. So I remember there were many nights I would bait her for drinking in the little cruddy bar next to the cruddy hotel.
I remember that. He was such a nice person.
He's the sweetest. I missed the final quote.
Oh, yes.
I must also add that Tim and Maggie are two of the most attractive and comedically talented actors I've ever worked with. It's all right here in black and white.
And today is the day Diedrich Bader became my new favorite person. Other than you, Tim. All right. That's so sweet of him. He's such a doll, and he's so good in this. He's such a good actor. Anyway, yes. Eli comes out and greets Nicole with loving open arms. She tells Eli that she witnessed a...
murder.
Everybody join in. that's good. In the city. Gus and Sean are introduced to Eli as the men... who saved Nicole. Gus wants to stay at the farm because he wants to take care of Nicole.
I bet he does.
And with that, Gus and Sean are welcome to the farm to stay until the case is solved, and they know Nicole is safe. Sean is uneasy with the situation, while Gus, on the other hand, is very excited. He has immediately connected with the commune's message of peace and free love. When they reach the mess hall, they see an enormous picture of their leader, Eli, prominently hanging on the wall, thus leading Sean to believe that this hippie commune may actually be a cult led by Eli. Just then, Juliet calls Sean and confirms her belief that someone is trying to kill Nicole. Juliet tells Sean to stay where they are and to keep the girl safe while the SBPD investigate further.
Ding, 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 ding. Guess what she's wearing? Pepto drink.
Oh.
Knocking back while you're playing the game. You are. You're in a Pepto drink class.
Oh, okay, great. I know I feel more confident walking out the door in the morning when my hair is on point. There's no frizz, no grease. You know, it's just perfect. It's good. It feels good. We all know your hair and skin can sway your mood and impact your day in ways you can't underestimate. I'd never found beauty products that really understood my needs, but ever since I switched to a custom hair and skin routine with Pros, I have noticed so many benefits, healthier hair and skin, and beyond that too. After using Pros for a while now, I can tell you that my hair is shinier, healthier, and more manageable. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin type, so personalization is rooted in every single thing they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours or mine. Take my custom shampoo and conditioner, for example. They were formulated to make my hair more manageable and shiny. I just got back from the gym, and this girl complimented my hair. A compliment of my hair after working out is really impressive, actually. Pros isn't just better for you. It's better for the planet as well. They are a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, which is very important to me, and first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool, which learns from my feedback and adjusts the formula to keep up with the seasons and all the changes in my life. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/pineapple. So you get a free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/pineapple. That's pros, PROSE.com/pineapple. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Oh man, if I had an extra hour in my day, I would shut off my phone and I would probably just sit and pet my dog, maybe fall asleep. I would do nothing but focus on him, and that's it. Anyway, a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You all, it is very easy to sign up. It takes 2 seconds. Then you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That's one of the things I love about it. It's tailored exactly to your needs, and you can move around if you need to. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pineapple. I feel like I fight these things all the time. It can be as simple as like I have a Zoom and I feel like I say something stupid or a podcast where I say something stupid. But anything, it can be, you know, if I haven't really been working out a lot. I think that's the biggest thing for me is just movement. When I don't feel like I'm giving myself that kind of hour in a day, I start to feel, or let's just say half hour, where I just move in a real way, break a sweat, you know what I'm talking about. And that makes me feel better. So when I'm not doing that, I really feel it. Anyway, we all know it's easy to focus on the negative, but it's important to remember to take care of yourself. One of the best forms of self-love is taking care of your skin so you can feel good on the inside and the out. And that's why we are excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin. Whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, or acne scarring, Apostrophe will help you love the skin you're in. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. Simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history. Then snap a few selfies and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne, even back, chest, and butt acne. Anyway, treat breakouts from head to toe. I know for me, at this point, with all the travel I've been doing lately, it's like just staying like hydrated. But I think deeper than that, I have a lot of sunspots. I've spent so much time in the sun. So I think for me, it's like taking care of that. We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/pineapple when you use our code pineapple. That is a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/pineapple, click get started, and then use our code pineapple at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
The next morning, Sean and Gus awake on the farm. Sean finds Gus's obsession with Nicole a bit odd and confronts him about his recent tendencies to hit on every woman that he's come in contact with as of late. Gus confesses, like Sean, he too wants to find someone special in his life.
Aww.
And who can blame him? Gus is so lovable. He's so lovable.
So sweet.
Okay,
lovable.
Nicole pops her head in and tells Sean and Gus that it's morning ritual time down at the Peace Ash.
So I need to get back to the phone call real quick.
Because they say it so many times, and every time they say it, it sounds inappropriate.
Which Dulé, that is sort of his specialty, as we've discussed.
Everything Dulé says sounds dirty. Or just off. Okay. All right. Wait. What did I just say? Oh,
sorry,
I know what I said.
Let me just interject. Yes. Phone call while we're on the street. Another series first.
Oh.
As Lasseter yells, hang up on your boyfriend and let's go get some pancakes, let's get some pancakes was an improv mag, and I would also button scenes with it. It was the very first time I'd ever made it onto camera.
Yep, that's right. We had a few. We had pancakes. What was
Sloppy
the other
Joe's? Sloppy Joe's was early on.
So random, but we'd said it.
Again, never made it to Cameron.
Never made it.
But pancakes was always one of my favorites. First of all, it's got a K in it, so it's a funny word.
It's fun. It's a very fun word. You know what always made it in? Dobson. All right.
And yet no K.
Okay, back in Santa Barbara. Juliet and Lasseter head to the street where Nicole witnessed the murder.
Oh, sorry. I do have to say one thing, though.
Yes.
So as their car runs through the red light and almost hits O'Hara.
Yeah.
Lasseter's screaming red light is 100% Tim standing on his lawn yelling, "Slow down!" to anyone who drives, because they live in this very sort of quiet suburban street.
That's true.
Which there's a lot of kids on. So I have no problem at all just screaming at the top of my lungs, "Slow down." Much like Lasseter, alarmed that his dear partner and dear friend almost got hit by a car.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Red light!
Yep. Years of practice. It was very believable. All right. While on the phone with Juliet, Sean gets the idea to look at the red light camera photos from the intersection where Nicole witnessed the murder to get potential leads since Juliet almost got hit by a car. Henry accesses the traffic camera pictures while on the phone with Sean, who is also looking at the pictures on Eli's computer via remote access. From the pictures, Henry recognizes a man, Dan Cooper, an internal affairs agent who had pissed off a lot of cops in his time. Nicole walks in on Sean looking at the picture of Cooper and says right away that was the man she saw killed.
This is officially where I started to lose the plot and went, please, I can't wait for Sean to wrap this up so I can understand what happened in this crime.
Yeah. There were many times I'd be like, I'm going to skip to the last page and maybe the rest of this will make sense.
Wait, Maggie, what are they trying to figure out? They're trying to figure out
I don't know.
When Nicole witnessed a what? There we go.
Correct. That is it. Okay, where were we? He's the man. Okay, later, Sean tells Gus the news about Cooper while they're at the commune's fruit stand. But Gus is more interested in selling apples and being part of the commune than figuring out the case.
Selling apples, is that what the kids are calling it now?
Yeah. Exactly. Just then, a band of locals stops by and pokes fun at the fruit-selling members of the commune. Jeffrey, a commune member, tries to defuse the situation with love, but the locals keep harassing them, Nicole in particular. After Jeff sees them harass Nicole, he punches...
This fruit stand
this
fight was so ridiculous.
Jerk.
Like, just absolute
so
pure
insane.
Ridiculous. And the shot of James getting thrown on the, is like, it's a pure shot of Byron's face.
It's very good. Amazing stunt. Yeah,
like,
it was.
Barely even a hint of trying to hide his stunt double Byron.
Yeah. It was very funny. So they get into a fight. A brawl ensues. Lasseter and Juliet try to get March, the head of internal affairs, to tell them who Cooper was investigating to get a lead on what really happened that day. But March can't give up any details, except for the fact that Cooper mostly monitored how police logged evidence, nothing majorly secret. Oh, right. He even knew about certain crimes that Lassie did in his past.
This alpha male cop-off between March and I is so fun to play. And of course, O'Hara just shuts Lasseter down with one solid, bold Carlton.
Yeah.
Just, again, showing that you are the yin to my yang.
Yep. It's true.
The yang to my yin. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
Jinx. Owe me a Coke.
You beat me. You beat me. Okay. Where was I? Sean tells Sean I really don't know what I was saying.
We're almost.
Oh, wait. Juliet gets a report on the wire that Sean and Gus got into a brawl with the locals up in Box Canyon. She now knows their location is no longer a secret and that the murderer or the...
I'm going to be out of a job soon.
Can find them.
That had a really amazing timbre to it.
It did. It was like a percussion-y thing that was happening.
I felt that one on my chest. It was good.
Yeah. Juliet tells Sean about Cooper and how he monitored evidence logging, and Sean gets an idea that makes him think Cooper was investigating Pierce, an officer at the SBPD that may have been tampering with evidence. Sean stumbles into Eli's house. No one is there, so he does some harmless snooping. He sees pictures of the community over the years. Then in Eli's desk, he sees an address in Santa Barbara. He sees an address in Santa Barbara written on a scratch piece of paper. Then he comes across Gus in the kitchen making out with Nicole. Get it together, Gus. Get it together. Anyway.
He's trying to get it together. He's trying to get something together.
Sean pulls Gus aside, worried that Gus is leaning toward possibly joining this bizarre hippie farm cult. Meanwhile, it turns out Sean was right about his hunch on Pierce. Lassiter and Juliet arrest Pierce, and they are certain they can go get Pierce. They can get Pierce to confess to Cooper's murder. Thinking that the SBPD has their guy, Sean wants to get off of the commune and back to Santa Barbara immediately, but he knows Gus won't leave without putting up a fight. So he pulls Gus aside and asks him to join him at the peace. How many times do we? That should just become a runner. It needs to be its own runner now on the podcast, even when the episode is not about this. Anyway, Gus agrees, and they get in the Blueberry to take a drive out there. But instead, Sean hightails it out of the commune. But on the way out, they notice a car hidden under branches, the same car that tried to run over Nicole.
That car stunt they did with the Blueberry was just so ridiculous. Like, where did it suddenly get all that?
The Blueberry.
How did it get all that air?
I don't know.
And how did it not totally break
the
training?
How does it do anything? I don't know. Okay, now Sean believes the killer is in the commune. They head back and try to find Nicole to make sure she is okay. They thankfully find her unharmed. Just then, Lassiter and Juliet show up. Lassiter explains to the people that there is a killer on the loose, and Eli's reaction is to get everyone to go to the Barn of Truth to talk about what is going on with the entire community. Jeff takes the floor and releases a truth.
Okay,
it's so funny, the thing.
The Barn of Truth scene with the gourd.
Oh, my God.
Was, first of all, here's another little fun fact. So when Milos, when he calls for the gourd, Milos hands him his left sandal. That's a little wink to The Life of Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a scene where Brian loses his sandal, and they all think they need to worship the sandal. There's a woman holding a gourd in the back of that scene. So that's why there was a sandal in the scene in the gourd scene.
I had no idea. I didn't get no one. Look at us. I'm impressed, Tim.
You know what's
and some other people knew it too. So
that's crazy and weird psychic. So who was sitting in front of me on the plane today, or yesterday? The other when we.
Oh, that was so cool.
Oh, just the legendary John Cleese.
Yeah. Our flight here was really cool.
It was all I could do not to just. Well, first of all, he puts his seat right back here immediately, and I'm like, I was trying to go to the bathroom. I could barely get out of it. And I was like, son of a bitch. But then as I'm coming back, I see it's John Cleese, and he's flat out asleep. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's John Cleese.
I witnessed all of that.
Dude,
I witnessed the whole
progression. You put your seat back wherever you want. And by the way, Mr. Cleese, can I give you a foot rub? I didn't actually say it, but it was all I could do not to be like, I love you.
Yeah. We had another psycholome on the plane, Michael Rooker.
Oh, cool. It was a great flight.
It was a really cool flight. Danielle Panabaker was on our flight. It was very cool.
Most fun thing about the flight for me?
We were there.
Being back on a flight with Maggie, like we used to do back in the day, but going back and forth to Vancouver and LA.
Yep. You were hilarious. You were like, well, are we going to get cocktails? I was like, no, Tim.
Of course not. Well, no, it's not just cocktails. What do we call them? We call them breakfast cocktails. Because Maggie and I always take a 6 in the morning flight.
It was really early. And I would never understand it because I would be like, you know, I get to go home. When we were on the show, like this is going way, way, way back. But I would go home and I could just hang out with my dogs and relax. And Tim would be like having his breakfast cocktails. And then I'd be like, what do you do when we land? He's like, well, I got to go to like a 6-year-old's birthday party. And then I got to go to this place. And I'm like, how?
The stage was like, as we were like, and ladies and gentlemen, we're approaching LAX. I'm like, oh God, I got to sober up. Yeah. My wife's going to kill me. I got to sober up.
This is a lot of information.
Can I have 5 coffees, please?
Yes.
Devin, we might need to cut this part out of the actual podcast part.
Yeah, we might actually. This is just for you all. This is not for like public consumption. It's just for this room.
No, but it was so fun to like get on that plane and look across and see you across the aisle from me.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. We have fun on planes. Okay. I don't know where I was because that was a fun little detour. We were at the Peace Ash. That's right. Oh, right. So Gus agrees they get in the Blueberry drive out there, but instead he hightails it out. They notice the car. Cool.
Pause, please.
Oh, we're in the barn. We're in the Barn of Truth.
Barn of Truth, which I got to say, this scene was just, it was one of my favorite scene of the episode, totally.
The scene is so ridiculous.
All I could do not to, like, everything Diedrich Bader did just killed me. I mean, I spent this entire scene just biting my lip, trying not to bust up. The scene where he sits down and just looks, gives me that look. It's like,
oh, yeah. He's ridiculous.
It's just everything he does, everything he said or look just killed me. It's like, I'm just biting my tongue, trying not to destroy the entire scene because there's 17 people in it.
It was a big scene. God, it was fun to shoot that day, too. Anyway, lots of bugs in that barn. I remember that. I remember some bugs. Okay, so Jeff Takes the Floor, releases the truth, tells Nicole that she went to Santa Barbara. He knew she wasn't going there to shop for bobbins, like she said.
Shop for bobbins.
Bobbins. But she was instead going there to see a man. Nicole steps up to defend herself by saying that she and the man never had a chance to meet anyway. Jeff then admits that he read Nicole's emails. All from a particular email address, an email address that Lassiter immediately knows who it belongs to. Lassiter then steps up and reveals that the email address Nicole was writing to belong to Dan Cooper and the IA agent, right? The man that she went to visit was the same man that she saw killed. Now, all eyes are on Jeff. He comes, his coming to Nicole's defense at the fruit stand added with his admission of spying on her leads Sean to believe that it was him, he who killed Cooper, out of jealousy because he thought Nicole, his ex-wife, that we've just learned, was leaving the commune for good to be with another man. Lassiter, Juliet, Sean, and Gus head to Jeff's house and find the body of Cooper in his shed. They arrest him
Because what was he, people? One.
I was teeing it up.
Sorry.
They arrest Jeff for the...
Chef's kiss.
It's silly. I love it. In Cooper's wallet, they find a picture of a woman that Sean saw in the pictures in Eli's house from earlier. Dot, a community member, explains. Dot. She deserves her own episode. Dot, a community member, explains that the woman in the picture in Eli's wallet is Cynthia Cooper and that she left the commune years back. Dot also reveals that Cynthia's life was ruined after she left the commune from this. Sean puts it together that Cooper was emailing Nicole to try to get info on Eli and the commune to find the reason for why Cynthia's life was destroyed after she left. Are y'all following? Of course you are.
Eli, I keep thinking of my character on Xena. It's like, what? Sorry.
From this, Sean knows it wasn't Jeff who was the killer. He believes that it was Eli. One of my favorite moments was when he says, Eli, you can call me Eli.
But you can call me Eli.
Very good. Sean interrupts group exercise to blame Eli for the murder of Agent Cooper. Sean reveals his reasoning by relaying the fact that upon arrival to the commune, everyone is forced to sign a document that gives Eli power of attorney over them and everything they used to own on the outside.
Sorry, I have to call out Dot. Call out Dot. She's so funny. The amazing Suzanne Kroll.
Oh, my God. I love her so much.
Or his last year calls her Squeaky Fromm.
Yeah.
Who was in a cult? Little fun fact. Not a fun fact, but Squeaky Fromm was a member.
He was like, cute story.
Was a member of the Manson family who was accused, who tried to assassinate Carlton's favorite president, Gerald Ford.
Wait, what? Back, exactly.
How did you say?
Back up.
Squeaky Fromm, when Lassiter first meets Dot, he refers to her as Squeaky Fromm.
Yes, we got that part. Then there was a mention of Manson.
Oh, Squeaky Fromm was a member of the Manson family who tried to assassinate George Bush in the mid-70s.
In real life?
Not George Bush, sorry. In real life, Gerald Ford, who's, as we know, is Carlton's favorite president, because when he was a young man, he wrote a letter to Gerald Ford.
That's right. I did not know this about Suzanne?
Suzanne's character.
The character!
No, Maggie. Suzanne Kroll did not try and kill Gerald
Ford. I am losing my mind up here. I'm like, wait a second. What did I miss about Suzanne? And should we be telling this story right now? Oh, of course.
She's on parole. So.
Now we're good. I'm here, I promise.
I'm sorry, I went off on a
heart. Did you think the same thing? Yes. Oh my God, thank you! Same thing with Tao and Dao. I'm not crazy. Okay, all right.
I went off on a heart tangent. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I was like, we need to maybe stop telling this story now. Okay, Okay.
Hey, remember that time that Suzanne killed that hobo on the way to set?
He's just
that
like,
was weird.
He's yeah, like, Devin, cute story. She was in a cult, and then there was this Manson thing, and then there was like a possible assassination. I was like, okay, I don't remember now where I was or anything else that's happening. Okay.
This has really gone off the rails.
It's really, I'm so sorry. It's late. Thank you. Power of attorney. They all were forced to turn everything over. Okay, I got a hole in the story here. These are all like very successful people who have read a lot of documents in their days. There was a part of me that was a little bit like, all of them missed this? Okay, I know it's psych, and we love psych, but I was like, did they just not read it, or maybe they just didn't care that they were signing over? I mean, I don't know. It's
who really reads the fine print?
Who? Exactly. Okay, so Sean says it was Eli that... it was a terrible tee up. I'm so sorry. Cooper, because Cooper was trying to get info on Eli, who he believed was the reason Cynthia's life was destroyed. Did we all get this? Did I already say this? Okay, and after Cynthia left the commune, Cooper made it his life's work to investigate Eli and take the commune down. Eli was planning on taking everybody's money and eventually fleeing. The commune is furious. Okay, and as a
I've
result.
I've just heard you read the entire plot, and I still don't understand it. No wonder I don't understand what we're shooting at.
I don't know that I fully understand like the who was after who and all of that, but now I understand who the bad guy is, and then it all is starting to make a little bit of sense. So, okay, maybe. No, I'm following it. Okay, after Cynthia left the commune, Cooper made his life's work, blah, blah, blah. Eli was planning on taking everybody's money, eventually fleeing. The commune is furious, and as a result, turns on Eli and takes him down. Dot and Eli's assistant, Miloshi, in particular. Eli is arrested. Nicole tells Gus that she is headed to India.
Well, who does she say she's going to see in India?
Ramamurthy.
Who, of course, is a shout-out to our dear friend, Senil Ramamurthy.
Yes, which I love. And she asks him to go with her. This is really big. From this, Gus finally realizes Nicole is a bit too cuckoo
too
for him.
Too late is so funny to say.
And declines her offer. The remaining members of the commune decide to keep its ideals alive, and Sean gets to show Juliet the difference in taste with fresh-grown fruit. I loved this moment.
I think we have another show first here.
What?
It's the first time we ever see Juliet in sandals. You're like in these kind of cute.
Tim, you were really keeping track of this, of these firsts.
You know, I always track your wardrobe.
I mean, I'm in them today. I made a comment about them anyway. So that's very funny.
No,
maybe
to,
so.
To see O'Hara.
Oh, maybe.
See O'Hara in these sort of cute wedge sandals is like, that's different. Now, those you could actually run in as opposed to the high heels you're normally doing.
No, that's actually true. The wedge gives a little more support. Okay. It's true. You know? A wedge, you can walk a little longer in a wedge than you can, like, the ladies know. The remaining members of the commune decide to keep its ideals alive. Oh, we already did this. This is cute. Devin writes these. It's very, she always, anyway. Then Sean's little follower, Dot, shows up telling them that they bought the place. And that is our episode. How's our time? Oh, we're good. Okay. We have some fan questions that were sent in. Should we do our fan questions?
Fan questions, questions, questions. You've got queries, we've got answers. Sometimes they might be lies. That was an improvised song of it, ladies and gentlemen. We talked years ago, Maggie, about
what?
I was going to come up with a theme song for fan questions.
Yeah.
So I just made that up. I don't know if it's any good.
And I love it. And now it's recorded. And it's this version of it is going to play before fan questions.
Now Macklemore is going to sample it.
Every episode. Tim, I really like the song. It's very cute.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I know where it came from.
Okay, fan questions. We have six. All right. Everybody doing okay? Okay. do you guys like when Sean plays the straight man on the show and Gus gets to be the wacky one? Very much so.
Dulé doing wacky is just, I could watch day long.
I'm so with you. I think his comedy is, it's so special. And like, I kind of love that he goes overboard when he does anything that's a teeny bit like when Gus is putting on a character of any kind, whether it's like Smooth Gus or like, what's his?
Playa Gus.
Like the Dow, like this character, like I
the Tau Gus.
Love Delay. Or Dow, I've heard it both ways.
I mean, the fact that Delay like sort of started, was before he came to Psych, was so known for such a serious show like West Wing. And he was always such a hardcore dramatic actor. Then for him to get to show his true colors and stretch his comedic wings was just been a pleasure that we got to sit by the sidelines and watch.
Yeah, it really was. He's magical. Dulé is magical. Who? These are good. Who in the cast would most likely start a cult? Should we go with characters or people?
Where do you want to go?
Split room. Answer both. Well, it's interesting because I feel like, not that she would ever do it, but I would follow her, and that is Kirsten.
Yes.
Right? Like, she could probably like convince me to do something that I'd be like, you know what? Okay.
I mean, seeing Kirsten Allen on the one of our strike captains during that really unfortunate strike when she was there every morning.
She is awesome. I mean, would you agree? I feel like, she just has a way. I'm sure you all know this too. Like, whenever, like, even when she posts something or says something, I would just...
She's a very warm, nurturing, calming demeanor.
I would follow her. And then, characters. Interesting. 1,000%! Oh my God, I cannot wait to tell Kurt Fuller you all said that.
Oh, did they just come up with Woody?
Woody! 100 Yeah. Who, of course, he would start a cult. And he'd have his following. We would all be like, oh my God, here we go again. But he would find his people, and they would follow him. He's so wholesome and so lovable that
His girlfriend's name is Butterfly, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So let's just say he's already a cult leader.
Oh my God. I love whoever said that. Thank you. That's it. All right. What is your favorite moment from this episode? Oh, the barn scene for sure for me.
One of the gourd of truth was just.
Also, the ridiculous stunts. So close. Can I help you? Yes, I can.
Sure. Oh, no, I got it.
Oh, wait. You need that?
I got it.
We don't need the lid. Okay.
Long arms, Amundsen.
Oh, there you go. He did it. All right. That was my favorite moment. What was your favorite moment?
The same.
Okay, we said the same. He said the same. Where was...
Why?
Boom.
I know. Always.
Yeah. Where was the commune film, we said, right?
Yeah, it was Jamestown.
Jamestown. Yeah, there's this... Yeah, outside of Vancouver.
Because there's a shot of the wind turbine.
That's right. Oh, that's good. You really paid attention.
It's my job, Maggie.
Okay.
I'm half-assed this like everything else in life.
My favorite question of the bunch. What kind of pancakes would Juliet and Lasseter get?
Well, is she celiac?
This girl is, yeah.
I know, so I'm going
to
say...
So gluten-free, but now give me flavors. Gluten-free. Who's gluten-free? Anybody gluten-free? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Lasseter's a traditionalist. Would have been buttermilk, blueberry.
Yeah. I'm the same. I'm my mom will appreciate this. My grandma used to make me these little silver dollar pancakes. She would make, they were tiny. Everyone's nodding. Did everyone's grandmas do this? Oh my God. It was my favorite thing in the whole world. And so I want basic, like almost like Bisquick. Like I want the old school. Yes, right? I mean, I love the gourmet stuff, but like give me the like childhood pancake Sunday morning memory. Yeah, that's what I'd like. All right, good. Mom, you approve? Yeah, okay.
Judy's in, everybody.
Guys, that's like the whole episode and the fan questions. And that I think means we're like wrapping up soon.
The fact that y'all have been up as early as we have,
as
well.
Yeah.
And have had just as long a day as we have. Yeah. So thank you for coming out and helping us podcast this show.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them.
With a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary.
If you like to talk about fun fan theories.
If you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face.
We're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future.
Ghostbusters.
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.